present Brothers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glyn Jones. Episode 11, Solicitor's Instructions, featuring this week's special guests, James Hayter and Jeffrey Sumner.
I say, Henry, there's somebody in our room asleep.
Beaten you to it, eh?
What? There's a big fellow in an overcoat, fast asleep in the armchair by my desk. What's going on, Alec?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Thursby. It slipped my mind. He'd been in there quite a while. I told him you wouldn't be back for some time, but he said he'd rather wait and have a rest so he could recover from the stairs.
Recover from the stairs? Ah, that takes me back. Well, well, so our Mr. Thursby has reached the Tewkesbury phase of his education, has he?
Bound to happen, so wasn't it?
Inevitable. Into each young barrister's life, a little Tewkesbury must fall.
So, what are you talking about? What's Tewkesbury?
Well, that's Tewkesbury in your armchair, the Sleeping Beauty.
I don't quite follow.
He's a solicitor, sir. And he's got a brief for you.
A solicitor? Him?
Has been. He's passed 40 years, sir. Why, Mr. Tewkesbury's as well known around the courts as the Vicar of Justice.
And frequently as blind.
You mean he drinks?
Fish have been known to envy him. That's the usual kind of case he gets too, drunk with variations. How's your law on alcohol? You could get Tewkesbury to take you on a tour of his favorite places of refreshment. You'll be an expert in no time.
I don't believe all this.
You don't? Sometime at your leisure, have a good sniff at the back of my armchair. Tewkesbury's hip flask was leaking and the melody still lingers on.
He carries a hip flask?
For purely medicinal reasons, of course.
Yeah, all right, Henry, since you know everything, perhaps you can tell me his method of briefing counsel whilst in a drunken stupor.
Now, sir, let's just say he's tired after all those stairs, you know. He'll be all right. You get on with some work until he comes round. Until he's ready for you.
No. Fire on
him. Sounds as though he's recovered from the stairs. Off you go, Roger.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Tewkesbury. I thought you were...
Are you a barrister, sir?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Your pardon, sir. I was taking a brief rest. It's the stairs, you know. Can you reach into my pocket? A flask. Ah, thank you, sir. Forgive me. My doctor insists. It would have pleased my doctor to see that, sir. It would have done his heart good. And he so often says, what's the use of your coming to me if you don't do what I say? No, I've done what he says. Well, almost. Two, I think he said. Two a day. Forgive me, sir. Ah, yes. But fill me with the old familiar juice. Methinks I shall recover by and by. Are you an admirer of the divine Rubaiyat, sir?
Well, not really. Now, look, if we may proceed, I'd like to know why you've come to me.
I came to you because you are a young man, sir. I believe in youth, sir. Fresh blood. The mainstay of any profession, sir. I could have gone to Sir Geoffrey Harrington. I briefed him a lot in my day, and he's a fine lawyer, sir. But not, I thought, the right man for this case, sir.
Well, didn't he die last year?
That also is a consideration, sir. Now, sir, if I may ask the vital question, what do you think of our chances, sir? Honestly and openly, sir, shall we win or lose?
Well,
Now, sir, don't let me embarrass you. You think it's hopeless, do you, sir? Then say so. I shan't flinch. And between you and me, sir, I entirely agree.
Well, I wouldn't say anything was hopeless, Mr. Tewkesbury, but if you could just briefly remind me of the facts.
The facts, sir, the facts. But if you'll forgive my saying so, sir, the facts are set out at length in the brief that I delivered to you. Were they not clear to you, sir? I should be sorry to think that, sir. I may tell you in confidence, sir, that one of the present Lord Justices used to compliment me on my instructions when he was at the bar, sir. They are like nobody else's, he must have. So,
But as a matter of fact, I haven't had the brief yet, Mr. Tewkesbury.
Not had it, sir, not had it, but I don't see how that can be, sir. I have a distinct recollection of taking it from my pocket and... Good gracious. You were perfectly right, sir. Here it is. Well, that was quite a shock, sir. Most disturbing. I really think my doctor would advise it. But this is magnificent, sir.
What is?
Well, here we are, sir, discussing the minutest details of the case, and you haven't even had the brief yet. My client's a lucky man, sir. If you can grasp a case like this with only a few words from me, you'll be unconquerable when you know what it's about.
Well, what is it about? What's the charge?
Laughable, sir, laughable. Driving whilst under the influence. I ask you, sir, on two whiskies, is it likely?
I don't know, is it?
I have known old George, my client, sir, for a number of years. Perhaps longer. And I've never seen him the worse for drink. I've often seen him the better for it. Never the worse.
Well, the police are pretty careful in these cases.
Certainly, so they find the man whose breath smells of drink, and they carefully deduce that he's been drinking. But look at it this way, sir. I don't mind admitting that I had one small whiskey with my lunch. Just one, sir. But possibly my breath still smells of it.
Well, perhaps. Just. They also asked you to take tests. Or did your client refuse the test?
He neither refused nor acquiesced, sir. He maintained a dignified silence, being asleep at the time.
He was asleep at the wheel?
A good point, sir. I knew we were right to come to you. They're sure to bring that up. And what's your answer to it, sir?
Well, perhaps he wasn't asleep at all. Perhaps he was just, unconscious. Was he subject to fainting fits or dizzy spells?
He was indeed, sir. I myself have seen him in the grip of one of them. Swaying, sir. Almost staggering. Pitiful, sir. Pitiful.
Yes, well, was he taking any medicine? Drugs of any kind?
Constantly, sir. Constantly. Many is the time I've warned him about it. Heaven knows what devil's brew lurks within those cough lozenges of his.
Well, we could find out, I suppose. The only other thing is, had anything happened to him that could have caused shock or concussion?
Ah, you're on to the lamppost, sir.
Lampus?
It accounts for the concussion, which we've agreed on now, but there is a snag, sir. Why did he hit the lamppost in the first place and on the wrong side of the road? Old George, my client, sir, is a man of complete probity, but I still find it difficult to explain why he should suddenly cross an empty road at 3 o'clock in the morning and strike an unoffending lamppost. What do you suggest, sir?
Well, a momentary aberration? What speed was he travelling at?
Oh, very slow, sir. Walking pace.
Oh, pity, pity. You see, if he'd been going at, say, 20 miles an hour and been suddenly distracted by something, he might have been across the road in a flash.
You mustn't take me too literally, sir. When I say walking pace, from my client's point of view, I mean 20 miles an hour.
Oh.
He's a fast driver, sir, and to him, 20 miles an hour is walking pace. And he's very easily distracted. Yes, I think you got it, sir. Brilliant, sir. Brilliant.
Well, I think we've got something of the case.
And to spare, sir, and to spare. Look at the picture. Here is a man, after a mere two whiskies, gallantly struggling home in the throes of a dizzy spell, poisoned by cough lozenges, at a steady 20 miles an hour. He swerves to avoid the dog.
What dog?
Well... Just a suggestion, sir. As you said, something must have distracted him. It might have been a cat.
Oh.
Anyway, he swerves to avoid it and just bumps into a lamppost.
Oh, it was just a bump. He didn't knock it down or anything.
Well, he did. But, as you know, sir, you don't need much more than a bump from a steamroller. Didn't I mention that, sir?
No, you didn't. But that's the charge, is it? Drunk while on the highway in charge of a steamroller?
Precisely, and there's the point, sir. There is the rub. Now, would you, even cold sober, attempt to drive a steamroller, let alone intoxicated?
Yes, I see what you mean.
Of course you do, sir. And with that and your suggestions, we're home and dry, sir. We have defense in full measure, sir. Pressed down and... running over. At Philippi, then.
What?
In court, sir, tomorrow morning. I leave you with confidence, sir. Full confidence. Good day, sir.
Good day, Mr. Dewsbury. Ah, yes, how well I remember that look. The post-Tewkesbury glaze.
Well, what was it?
What? Oh, drunken driving.
Mm-hmm. What did I predict? Well, it'll be guilty, of course.
No, of course about it. We're pleading not guilty.
Not guilty? To a Tewkesbury drunk charge? Well, that's a novelty. What's the defense? Apart from the fact that he's only had the two whiskies, I mean.
How did you know that?
Oh, Tewkesbury's clients have never had more than two whiskies. It's a standard opening. Just as Tewkesbury never admits to more than one small whiskey with his lunch.
Yes, he did mention that.
Mm. So you've seen what his idea of one small whiskey does to him. Can you imagine what two would do to his client?
Good heavens, Henry, what a disgraceful attitude. Just because a man has a reputation for taking the occasional medicinal nip, his client's case is automatically prejudiced?
All right, unprejudice me.
What?
Tewkesbury probably combed the cross-section of London's more gullible barristers before he heaved his corpulent frame up all our stairs. What shining hope did you spot in his case that all those others couldn't discern?
Well, he was travelling very slowly.
Tewkesbury always does, in case he falls over.
No. Not Tewkesbury, his client.
Oh, sorry. Well, Tewkesbury's client was travelling slowly.
Feeling unwell, on account of the cough lozenges.
Cough lozenges?
To which he's allergic.
But no doubt he took a spoonful of whiskey to help the medicine go down.
He swerved to avoid a dog. Or a cat.
Or a pink elephant.
And a steamroller struck a lamppost.
And a steamroller?
Yes, steamroller.
His own steamroller, or did he borrow it from a friend?
Look, Henry, I'm not going on. I still happen to think I've got a case.
You certainly have, old man. A certifiable one.
I just told
you. Roger, are you mad? Have you gone stark raving doolally?
What?
Listen, any magistrate in the country comes down like a ton of bricks on drunken driving, and quite right, too.
I agree, but...
But nothing. If you go into court with all that codswallop about only two whiskies and dizzy spells and poison cough drops, he'll hit the roof, he'll demolish you and your client. You've got to plead guilty.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Of course I'm right. Tell Tewkesbury to change his plea.
Or I'll get all his office right away.
Oh, I'm afraid you can't do that.
Why not?
Well, Tewkesbury is permanently what he calls between offices. I think he does most of his business from a telephone box.
Well, which one?
Oh, he's not fussy.
Oh, Lord.
There might be some sort of clue in the brief.
Oh, yes, of course. Thanks, Henry. I'll have a look now. Where is the brief?
What?
Well, it's gone. The brief's gone. Surely he can't have taken it away with him.
But it would be in character.
Well, don't just stand there. Help me look.
Still hard at it, eh? That's the stuff. Nose to the grindstone. Nothing, eh? Well, I'm off.
Oh, Grimes, please. Look, we need your help. We're in terrible trouble.
Well, not so much we.
Oh, all right, and me. You see, I've been given a case by Mr. Tewkesbury.
Oh, how Tewkesbury, eh? Charming fellow, delightful. Not an ounce of harm in him. Charming. Can't think why he wasn't struck off the rolls years ago.
Look, Grimes, please.
You know old Tewkesbury gave me one of my first cases?
Look, if I could just explain.
Oh, yes. Of course, my dear fellow. Now, you fire away.
Well, I've got this case tomorrow morning, drunken driving.
Oh, nasty business, no, nasty, very nasty. You deserve all they get.
Yes, quite. Well, the point is that I want Tewkesbury to get his client to change his plea to guilty.
Yes, probably very wise, my dear fellow. You know how magistrates are about such cases. You give Tewkesbury a ring.
No, I can't give him a ring. He's between offices.
Yes, I remember now, yes. Well, you'll just have to leave it until the morning.
The morning?
Yeah, that's right. You study the brief well this evening and then be prepared to argue for either not guilty or in mitigation if he accepts your advice of guilty.
But I haven't got the brief.
Oh, you should have the brief, my dear fellow.
I did, but Tewkesbury took it away with him.
Well, then I should ask him to give it you back.
But I can't find him.
Oh, I see your point. Well, that is awkward, you know, very awkward.
Well, perhaps he's with a client. What's the client's name?
Old George.
Old George? You sure he wasn't thinking of a pub?
No. He's an old friend.
Well, so's a pub to Tewkesbury.
That's it, my dear fellow. That's the answer. Now, look, if you want to find Tewkesbury tonight, there's only one place to look, in the pub.
Which one?
Like phone boxes, he's not fussy.
Oh, very carefully. Very carefully. He lives in Soho. You better try around there. He also has a penchant for the dockside pubs round the Pool of London. You'll find him, my dear fellow. You'll find him.
But that means hundreds of pubs. I couldn't cover them all.
Tewkesbury could. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Roger. We'll join forces and split up, if you see what I mean. Now, you and Sally take Soho, and I'll take the docks. Where's the map of the old metropolis? Ah, here we are. Now, let's see. There are 6,000 taverns in the town. In the town!
There were times this evening I thought I'd never see my little flat again.
Sit down, darling.
Oh. And it was a highly successful mission, wasn't it? My word, yes. This it would be to anybody who wanted 18 packets of crisps, 10 packets of cheese biscuits, 14 boxes of matches, and a very dubious slice of veal and ham pie.
Well, you can't just go and look round a pub without buying something. And if we'd had a drink in each one, oh.
I'd really need one before we finish. I've got 7 copies of The War Cry here somewhere.
It's incredible. All those pubs are not a sign of Mr. Tewksbury, not a sausage.
I've got a sausage.
Well, that might be him. Keep your fingers crossed.
Right.
They seek him here, they seek him now. Those barristers seek him everywhere. The grapes, the crown, the jubilee of that damned elusive Tewksbury.
Henry, you're not...
As a newt, my dear. No, 2 newts. All of the cause, you can't just go and look round the pub without buying something.
We bought crisps.
I was in Dockland. One does not buy crisps in Dockland. There are things which are not done. And it is better to do the things that are done than to leave undone the
Henry,
things...
Please, pull yourself together, for heaven's sake. Did you find anything?
I did, my boy. I did. I found some irrefutable...
What?
Irrefutable. Some very important evidence to your case.
What?
It is very, very difficult to drive a steamroller whilst under the influence.
Henry, you did...
No, I didn't. I couldn't even get the blasted thing going.
Look, never mind that. What about Tewksbury? Did you find him?
Tewksbury? Ah, yes. In the very last pub I went to.
You found him?
No, I just missed him. He left a few minutes before with a friend. It's nice to have friends.
Well, you just lost 2.
Oh, don't say that, old boy. No, it's still Covent Garden. Pubs are open there till all hours. I'm game.
No, please. I'm going to wait by the phone. It's my only hope. I sent a telegram to Tewksbury's home asking him to ring me here as soon as he got in.
And I think you'd better take me home, Henry. No. On second thoughts, I think I'd better take you home. Good night, Roger. Good luck, darling.
Good luck, darling. Thanks.
Come on. Let's go, Dockland Charlie.
They seek him here. They seek him now.
Is he in heaven or is he in hell? Will he be in court tomorrow? Excuse me, Constable.
No, sir. For the umpteenth time, I haven't seen Mr. Tewksbury.
But he must have arrived. The case is on in a minute.
Well, you were here the moment the court opened. If he'd come in, you'd have seen him.
Well, I might have dozed off. I didn't get any sleep last night. I was waiting for a phone call. Look, are you sure you'd recognize Mr. Tewksbury?
Oh, I know Mr. Tewksbury as well as I know my own father, which I'm glad he's not. But if you don't believe me, why don't you ask your client?
Because I don't know where my client is. In fact, I don't even know who he is.
I see, sir. Well, he's very likely one of this lot sitting around outside the court. Why don't you make a few inquiries?
Yeah, I suppose I'd better. Which one do you think looks most like a drunken driver?
Well, how about that fellow, sir?
Well, the small, mournful one.
You could ask.
Yes, excuse me. Are you George?
I?
What? Oh, well, look. Are you anything to do with drunken driving charge?
No, on paternity. Oh.
I'm sorry.
So am I, mate. But it takes 2 to tango.
Excuse me, sir, but they'll be starting in a few minutes.
Oh, Lord, when's my case likely to come on?
Oh, well, they'll be doing the overnight charges first, of course. But I believe there's only a few of them this morning, so the other cases should start in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes? I've got to find my client. Excuse me, are you on a drunken driving charge?
Hope not. I'm the clerk of the court.
Oh. I'm so sorry. It's just... Oh, wait a minute. Perhaps you can help me. Look, could you persuade the magistrate to keep my case back for a while? I'm not quite ready.
I might. What is the case?
Drunken driving.
Well, there's only one drunken driving charge this morning, a Mr. George Bone. Is that your client?
I should think so.
So? You mean you haven't even got your client's name?
Well, you see, Mr. Tewksbury...
Tewksbury? Say no more, my dear chap. You have my entire sympathy. Now, don't worry. I'll get the case kept back for you. I'll speak to the magistrate.
Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. Mm. That young fellow over there, Mr. Thursby. I wonder if you'd mind keeping this case back for a while. It's a bit tricky.
All the more reason for getting on with it. I've got a full list today.
Yes, but I rather told him you'd wait. Yeah.
Well, now you'd better rather tell him I won't, hadn't you?
Yes, but I did rather promise.
Then this'll teach you not to. Never make promises. It's a bad habit.
But, sir...
If this young man wants an adjournment, he can ask for it himself. Mr. Thursby?
Sir?
you wish to make an application, I believe.
Yes, sir. In the case of,
George Bone,
that's right. I'm afraid I'm not quite ready, sir.
Wrap it up, Mr. Thursday.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Wrap it up.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Just listen. Mr. Thomas?
Sir?
I believe you also wish to make an application for an adjournment, don't you?
I do, sir.
Listen to Mr. Thomas, Mr. Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Thomas?
In the case of Bignall, sir, I have an application for an adjournment in these circumstances. Unknown to my clients, one of the essential witnesses for the defense has gone to Brazil for 3 weeks. His mother is ill. Then, sir, most unfortunately, there was a fire in my solicitor's office. A pure accident. And some important documents have been burned. Added to that, sir, another witness, or possible witness, has left his address. And we can't trace him for the moment. And finally, sir, one of the partners in the solicitors instructing me has had a sudden operation. And the clerk attending to the matter has gone.
Now, do you understand what I mean by wrap it up, Mr. Thursday?
Yes, sir.
You may have your adjournment, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Mr. Thursday, I take it that a similar series of catastrophes has overtaken your client.
What? Oh, no. I don't know, sir. You see, the fact is, I can't find my client. And I can't find my solicitor or my brief.
I see. Well, I agree, Mr. Thursby, that needs very little wrapping up. You may not have your adjournments.
Sir!
Accidents are one thing, Mr. Thursby, but I cannot have the time of this court wasted through carelessness. I shall expect your client, Mr. Thursby, in his proper place on the list, which I see is immediately after the overnight cases, in about 10 minutes, Mr. Thursby.
But, sir!
Call the first case, please.
Charge number one, sir. Mr. Tewksbury.
Tewksbury? In the dock?
Why, Mr., what is his Christian name?
He gave it as Mr., sir.
Read the charge.
Mr. Tewksbury, you're charged with being drunk and incapable in a public place. Are you guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty, sir. And before we open the proceedings, sir, might I have a word with learned counsel over there?
Mr. Thursby, are you appearing for this man? I thought your client was George...
Yes, sir. He's my lay client, but Mr. Tewksbury is my professional client. But just at the moment, things being as they are, I'm...
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we have to practice, eh, Mr. Thursby?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll just take it for the moment that you are appearing for Mr. Tewksbury.
Thank you, sir. Might my client sit in front of me, sir, so that I can get his instructions?
Certainly. Let the constable take the oath.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
That constable is a liar, sir.
But he hasn't said anything yet.
I can tell by the way he walked into the witness box. There are ways.
Are you ready, Mr. Thursby?
Yes, sir, sorry.
Well, officer.
Police Constable Thomas Evans, your worship, number 932 T Division. Last night at 11:32 p.m., I was on duty in Meldrum Street when I saw the defendant. He was lying down.
Laughable!
Mr. Thursby, please tell your client not to interrupt.
Go on, officer.
I approached to see if he was ill. I found he was asleep. His breath smelt strongly of alcohol. I woke him and he spoke incoherently to me. He could not walk. With assistance, I conveyed him to the police station. While the charge was being read out to him, he fell asleep again.
I was tired.
What?
Tired, sir. Tell him, sir.
Yes, Mr. Thursby.
I put it to you, officer, that my client was tired.
He was drunk.
That is not an answer to the question. I had a very heavy day.
That is not an answer to the question, officer.
What question, sir?
Did you know I had a very heavy day, officer?
Be quiet, sir.
Go on from there, Mr. Thursby.
Did you know my client had a heavy day, officer?
No, sir.
He may have had one.
He had a lot to drink. If that's a heavy day, sir, he certainly had one.
He knows you didn't mean that.
You know I didn't mean that.
Well, what's his answer to that?
What's your answer to that, officer?
To what, sir?
Did you not know that I didn't mean that?
Didn't mean what?
Where was I?
Will he deny that I was tired?
Will you deny that my client was tired, officer?
He was drunk.
Officer, he may have been, but... No, let me put it another way. Would you agree that when people are tired, they often go to sleep
Not in the street, sir.
Oh. But I was asleep there, ergo I was tired.
Ah, yes, my client was asleep there, ergo he was tired.
I am getting a bit tired, too. Who is conducting this case? Let your client sit in front of you, Mr. Thursby, so that you could consult him when necessary, not so that you could join in a sort of two-part harmony. Let's get on.
Yes, sir. Officer? Officer?
Yes, sir?
You say my client couldn't stand.
He could not, sir. He'd have slipped down the steps if I hadn't held him.
Steps? What steps?
Where he was sleeping, sir.
Oh, he was sleeping on steps,
was he?
Where did they lead to? A private house?
Yes, sir.
Then he wasn't in a public place, was he, officer?
Oh. Well, it was off the street, sir.
Exactly, but not on it. The charge is being drunk and incapable in a public place.
Daniel, come to judgment. Well done. Well done.
Be quiet, sir. Well, officer, what do you say to this? You found him on private property. The public had no right of access up the steps.
Not as far as I know, sir.
Case dismissed.
Ask for costs.
No.
I asked for costs, sir.
I said no.
That was before you asked for them.
Call the next case, please.
But, sir, the charge has been dismissed.
Mr. Thursby, your client was drunk, and not for the first time. A man of his honored profession should be ashamed of himself. He was just lucky to be found on private property.
But
there will be no costs. Call the next case.
Splendid, well, sir, splendid. You minced him up, sir. Minced him into small pieces.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tewsey, but never mind that. What about our other client? I nearly went out of my mind last night trying to contact you about him.
You mean old George, sir?
Yes, I do. Look, I've changed my mind. He must plead guilty. He must.
I quite understand, sir. Things can change overnight. I think you'll find old George amenable. A man of principle, sir, but not of iron. I'm sure, in the circumstances, he'll be willing to plead guilty on both counts.
Good. Both counts?
Well, you see, sir, when I told him last night of your magnificent line of defense, he was so overjoyed that we thought a little celebration in order.
Mr. Tewsbury, you don't mean...
He may well have followed me into the dock, sir.
Oh, no!
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Henry Blagrove, Richard Waring, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally Ann Davis, Tewksbury, James Hayter, the magistrate, Geoffrey Sumner. Other parts were played by Alan Barry, Ronald Forfar, John Gabriel and Leslie Heritage. The solicitor's instructions was written by David Climie and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.